The New York Times calls her a writer of dauntless conviction. Lindsay Ferrantino is a playwright based in New York, where her show Ugly Lies the Bone opened off-Broadway in 2015 to critical acclaim. That show is currently on the Hertz stage at the Alliance Theater. Ms. Ferrantino holds the distinction of being the first two-time finalist of the Alliance Candida National Graduate Playwriting Competition. Lindsay, welcome to City Lights.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, great to have you. Ugly Lies the Bone is about a combat veteran, Jess, returning from her third tour in Afghanistan. She's been severely injured and has undergone several surgeries. She is undergoing physical therapy as she tries to re-enter civilian life. Could you introduce us to Jess personally?
Sure. I would say, so Jess is from the same hometown that I'm from, which is a small town along Florida's Space Coast. So I think the play has a lot to do with Florida and what it means to be from this town that always believed in the shuttle program. And she comes back to a town that has changed sort of drastically, physically and economically and spiritually, as the shuttle program was shutting down. So I think she is a tough woman who joined the military to get to go to college and to help support her family, and comes back to a town that's changed sort of as much as she has. So I think she has a sense of humor, and she is fighting to find her place in her town and in her life again.
In New York, the role of Jess was played by Mamie Gummer,
yes.
whom many of us know and admire. She's also the daughter of Meryl Streep. And you were saying that Mamie Gummer surprised you with something related to Ugly Lies the Bone. Tell us more.
So Mamie Gummer is of a level of actress that's called offer only. So when you reach a certain amount of professional success, you just are offered roles and you actually don't have to come in and audition. But Mamie came to, showed up, surprising us all, showing up to an open call audition for the role, and had just really thoroughly prepared for it and was just so open in the room and gave such a stellar audition that we couldn't not offer the role to her.
Were you pinching yourself?
Yeah, I was. I was a bit. I was pinching myself also in the sense that she was just really down to earth and had sort of no pretense and showed up in sweatpants. And she's a very slight woman. And she sort of, you know, when the audition was over, pounded the ground and said, "I'm willing to eat Subway sandwiches every day. I'll gain as much weight as you want me to for this role." And it was just so funny to us that her, you know, Subway sandwiches were the worst thing she could think to eat.
Yeah. Really? That's my idea of health food.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the character of Jess bears a lot of scars from her injuries, but there are also injuries we can't see. And soldiers returning to the States with PTSD, that's been an ongoing concern for many years, but it's especially in the news lately. We have a lot of attention being paid to you. Where was your entry point for telling that?
Well, my best friend from childhood is a VA center psychologist, so that's really how I first got interested in the world of veterans. She was sort of talking to me a lot about veterans coming back to this town that we were from, which was had no opportunities to really offer these veterans, in this parallel between the town looking for a way to start over and the returning soldiers kind of looking for the same thing. And I was doing a lot of research at the time, speaking with a lot of veterans, and the narrative that I was finding in media was a lot of attention being paid to returning veteran soldier suicide. And that wasn't the same story I found in talking with veterans personally. It was a lot of people sort of fighting to gain their life back and fighting for their will to live. And so that was the story that I was more interested in telling and felt like a story that should sort of be out there to support veterans.
In the very favorable review your play was given in the New York Times, something that was pointed out was that outside of news reporting, beyond journalism, these stories about recently returning wounded veterans to civilian life are scarce on stage and relatively current fiction. 20th century vets are represented far more often. I mean, maybe it takes time to catch up with two world wars, Korea and Vietnam, and not to mention all the things going on in Africa. But another point that was brought out was that this veteran is a woman. And in your research and those interviews you did, I'm wondering, how did those problems compare, women versus men returning from combat?
I wouldn't necessarily say that the problems were drastically different, but I found that women just, when they're soldiers, it's just a part of who they are, in addition to being a daughter, a sister, a student, and that they sort of felt that when women soldiers are portrayed, that there's always some huge justification of why would a woman want to actually be a soldier, whereas it's actually just sort of a part of who they are. So I felt like if I was going to write a play where a protagonist is a female veteran, that should just be one element of her personality, and I didn't have to sort of give a big speech as to why she, being a woman made her more qualified for the job of soldier. It just is an element of her personality.
Talking with playwright Lindsay Ferrantino, her play Ugly Lies the Bone is on stage at the Hurt stage of the Alliance Theater. We'll be back after a short break. This is City Lights on WABE Atlanta. Listening to City Lights on 90.1 and WABE.org. I'm Lois Reitzes here with you and playwright Lindsay Ferrantino. We're talking about her play, Ugly Lies the Bone. Talking about the protagonist, Jess, part of her therapy involves virtual reality, which is something actually being tested for use with veterans now. As a storyteller, I think the idea of virtual reality was especially appealing. How do you use that device in this story?
So the play is structured in that it sort of fluctuates between scenes in VR and in her actual reality. So I sort of go back and forth. And the idea is that you first see her in her first session where she's getting fitted for the equipment, and she has to sort of measure her pain on a 10-point scale, which helps the audience get a clue into where she's at in her pain levels in the reality scenes when she's not necessarily talking about her physical pain and just trying to deal with living her life. So the audience knows that she's starting the play about a 7.5 to 8 pain level on a 10-point scale. And she starts doing this virtual reality therapy, which is designed specifically for her in the game. So she chooses to make the VR world a sort of snowy landscape. She remembers digging her Humvee out of snow in Afghanistan and remembers that as a very positive memory. So they sort of craft the world around that memory. And she continues in the game where she sort of climbs mountains, and it's described mostly in language. There's some projections to support it, but it's mostly described in language, so it's living in the audience's imagination. And then, I don't want to give it away, but as a dramatist, you sort of find places where you can keep changing the narrative. So it starts in the imagination and gets more and more real progressively as the play goes on.
I think it's remarkable that the positive association for the Floridian is digging out of snow.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a whole part of the play about how the sister has not seen snow, and snow actually has really positive connotation.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the family, because Jess isn't alone in her trauma. Yeah. And one thing that you bring out in the play is how a service member's trauma affects an entire family. How does this play out with Jess's relatives?
So in the time that she has deployed, she had deployed to get a bonus to help her mom's care. Her mom is sort of in failing health, so the mom has gone into a sort of nursing home facility. So she's coming back and staying in her childhood home where her sister is living now. And so she's trying to sort of understand what this new relationship is with her sister now that the mom is gone and that they're both back living in their childhood home without their mother there. And her sister is simultaneously taking care of Jess in her new state of her burns need a lot of physical care and also her, you know, her mental stability. And her and Jess's sister is also still taking care of the mom who's now in a nursing facility. So Jess's sister is also dealing with a number of issues.
And understandably, yeah. Jess's sister and her husband would like to be upbeat and try and bring out the best. And that doesn't land well with Jess, does it?
Yeah, it's sort of this growing annoyance of to Jess of people who are talking about really trivial things like what grocery list, you know, what they're shopping for grocery lists and what's going on. Jess's sister is a kindergarten teacher and is constantly talking about her students and just trying to sort of put a happy face on all that's going on in her life. And so I think it takes a portion of the play before you realize that happiness is how deep that happiness actually goes.
I would think that for people who do not know any veterans or who haven't encountered any, that thinking about that must be surreal in terms of the returning vet, you know, just thinking what they witnessed, what they experienced, and here are little kindergarten children and grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself, I mean, you live in New York, taking the subway in an airport, if you see someone in uniform, do you find yourself looking at them differently now?
I think so. I think you hear when you talk to a lot of veterans that they say the first thing people say in any sort of response is when they find out that you're a veteran is go, I can't imagine what you must have gone through. And that can be very frustrating for a veteran to hear because it's sort of to say, I can't imagine what you've gone through sort of cuts off your capacity for empathy. And that is sort of our job as an audience of this play and as a culture to imagine what veterans have gone through if we're going to ask them to go off and defend our country and fight our wars for us, that on coming home, it is our job to, as much as we can possibly, with the acknowledgement that we will never fully understand, but it's our job to at least try to imagine what that experience must have been like. Mm.
As we mentioned, you are the only two-time finalist of the Candida competition at the Alliance. What have you derived from working with the Alliance Theater?
Well, the Alliance has been just a wonderful home for me. It was the place that first, the only theater that had treated me as a professional person when I was still a student. They gave me my first paycheck as a playwright, which when you're an emerging playwright and all opportunities you're working and working always for free, it just sort of changes your relationship with your own work and how seriously you take yourself as a professional when someone's actually offering to give you a paycheck for it.
Very validating.
Yeah, it's very validating. And I think it changes your relationship to the work and how seriously you can take yourself. And I'm from the South, I'm from Florida, and this is the first production I've gotten to see of one of my plays in the South and in to an audience that might actually have an understanding of what it means to be, you know, to know about that town, to know about what the space program was to the community that, you know, in Florida where I come from, and also to just know these people. I think there's a sort of Southern mentality in a lot of my plays when I'm writing about the South. So I'm excited to see how that plays to an Atlanta audience.
Have you talked with any audience members about that Southern sensibility, or have any of them approached you?
I just saw the play I haven't been too involved in this production. I just came last night and saw the first preview last night, and I'm going to opening tonight. So last night was a really exciting thing because it was full of a lot of students from Emory and then also a number of locals. And there have been some veterans who have come out and seen the show as well. So that's been really the most exciting part for me of getting to actually see the show in Atlanta. Yeah.
The title of the play comes from an epigram from Albert Einstein. Would you tell us about the significance of the title?
Sure. So the epigram is, beauty is but skin deep, ugly lies the bone. Beauty dies and fades away, but ugly holds its own. And it's obviously sort of about how deep ugliness goes, and does it go all the way to the bone? And it's sort of it's like a thematic thesis that I had when I was working on the play, of sort of keeping my thoughts under this sort of overarching idea of what does it mean to not feel like your exterior? How deep does your changed exterior affect your inner personality? And I think hopefully over the course of the play that you're judging all of the characters based on their exterior, and then later in the play finding out that those assumptions are being challenged.
But Jess is not the elephant man.
No, she's not, but she feels that way. And she feels like a completely different person having left having left for her deployment with long blonde hair, and someone who'd always been really prized for her looks, and comes back feeling like her hair is physically gone. Her half of her face is scarred, like 40% of her body is covered in third degree burns, and to the point where she's possibly not recognizable. And she keeps talking about how she can't remember what she actually looks like either now or before. So it's not just about her searching for beauty, but just sort of her searching for her identity now that she feels like her exterior is so compromised.
Lindsay Ferrantino, within the context of theater, of fine art, thank you so very much for making us more aware of what it means to be a returning veteran and the humanity we ought to show them, the better understanding and empathy you strive for. And congratulations. This is very exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Ugly Lies the Bone is on stage at the Alliance Theater's Hurt Stage through October 9th.